blessed assurance.
I want it to sound like a stereo effect in here, all right? The first and the last verse.
Blessed assurance. Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
As Paul makes the statement in Corinthians, he says, we are as the offscouring, as the garbage of the world in the eyes of the world. The people today don't have much respect for Christians, for Christ, the God, the Bible. It's looked down upon, shunned, want nothing to do with it. God says, you just go ahead and be faithful. There will be a price to pay, but when you get to heaven, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to honor you. Be faithful even unto death. Now, that'll be in Revelation in chapter 2. He talks about the church there at Smyrna. But understanding that God is going to pour out his wrath to those that do not believe. There's a price to pay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I've often wanted God to make me one of his avenging angels. I would like for God to let me settle the score. There's a few people that I like to do in. But God says, you just wait. I'll take care of that. So I'm just going to wait and let God take care of that. And then he makes the statement down here in verse 16. And say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the... And you ought to underline these three words, or wrath of the, not lion, wrath of the Lamb. You see, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he came meek and lowly as a lamb. He went to the judgment. He opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He let them spit on him. He let them plait some thorns and put it on his head. They put a sack over his head and they beat him in the face and says, prophesy, who smitest thou? All those things they did to him, and then they beat his back until it was nothing but a bloody piece of beefsteak, and put a robe on him and blood drying, and then they rip it off of him. All the things they did, and then nail him. Now that would have made me mad. I would have got a little upset. But he went like a lamb to the slaughter. He allowed people to do whatever they want. And when he said, if somebody smacks you on one cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And so they smacked him on one cheek and they hit him on the other. He did what he had told that you're supposed to do. He did all of that. That would have been very difficult. But they made him mad. The wrath of the Lamb. We see when Christ comes back the next time, he's coming back as the king, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not coming back as a lamb the next time. He did that the first time. But when he comes the next time, he's also going to prepare the world for judgment because God is upset. God is angry. God is mad. Did you know that you can toy with God a little while if you want to? But the Bible puts it this way. God is not mocked. You say, what does that mean? It means that you can't make fun of God and get away with it. It means you can't sin against God and think there's no consequences. For he says in that same verse in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, he says, for as you sow, so shall you reap. And that's what he means when he says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So people can live any way they want. You can make any choices you want. But you reveal your wisdom by the choices you make. So he makes a statement in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. We're so excited about Christmas. I think it's one of the best times of the year. I love it. I love the element of surprise. I often tell everybody, you don't have to get me anything. You don't have to get me anything, but you better. I don't have to have anything. You don't have to get me anything. I can't wait. I can't wait. But it's such a wonderful time of the year to give things and to get things. Here comes my wife. Hello, hon. I wish you'd have heard that last part. I need to repeat it a little bit louder, maybe over again. But you see, Christmas is a great time of the year because, you know, you're giving and people are singing and it's about Jesus Christ. And it's just a wonderful time. Jesus is coming. He came as a babe. We're so excited. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. They always used to use that as a threat to me when I was growing up. You better behave yourself. You know it's only 3 weeks to Christmas. It was to force me to be good so that I'd be deserving of my Christmas gift. And if I didn't behave, I won't go get nothing. Now, I know you wouldn't do that with your kids, would you? Threaten their little lives. And you hide them. They find them. We'd tear up the house trying to find things. I saw a wonderful Christmas card the other day. I opened it up and it says about the king size bed. And it was a little manger with a little baby in it. A king size bed. I thought, now somebody did some thinking on that. But I liked it. I really did. But I got some news for you. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And the next time he comes, yes, he's going to take us out of here because he's going to do some bad things to those people that are still here. God knoweth how to deliver his people from this day of wrath that's coming upon the earth. It's called the tribulation period, right ahead of us. You hear them talking about this debt problem we got and all. Listen, that's just symbolic of most families in America. They're over their heads. And most people max out on their credit cards and they can't pay for them. They can't do what needs to be done. And our federal government is the same way. And it could get worse and worse and worse. So I'm not looking for the White House to solve all our problems. I'm looking for the upper taker, and he's going to take us out of here. It may not happen in my lifetime, but one day it will happen. He's going to take us out, and there's going to be a tribulation period, the worst period of time the world's ever known, right after that. And then Christ is going to come back in power and great glory. But you see, the last 3.5 years of that period of time, called the Great Tribulation, God pours out his wrath upon the earth. And who shall be able to stand? And you can read all about these things as you go through here. But look there in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And look in verse 15. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. America is only a little over 200 years old. And some of the great nations, they only lasted maybe a couple hundred years. But Jesus is coming back as the king. And he's going to set up a kingdom. And the Bible says that the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. He will live and reign forever and ever and ever. Only 1,000 years upon the earth, and then he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. You ain't seen nothing yet. I haven't seen anything yet. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can't imagine all the things that God has stored for us in a future, in eternity. But why you're right there, look in verse 17. Saying, we give thanks. We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hath reigned. And the nations were so excited and pleased and wonderful. You know, they're just so peaceful about this thing. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. You see, before God sets up his kingdom upon the earth, he's got to deal with this problem upon the earth. And he's going to bring all these nations together. And the way he's going to do that and bring their armies all together is he says he's going to send forth his angels. Now, you don't see the angels. There's angels probably all over the place. I got a guardian angel. I probably got four or five. But everybody's got a guardian angel, and yet you can't see a one of them. And yet at the same time, God said he's going to send forth these angels, and he's going to take, see, all the people upon the earth, they're like part of a grapevine. And they're going to cast their sickles in and start cutting vines, and they're going to grab a hold of these grapevines and pull them into this big old valley. And it's by the plains of Jezreel, a place called Megiddo. Armageddon. And the Bible says that is a big old bowl, and he's going to get in and he's going to stomp all these grapes with his feet. And he says the blood's going to be as high as the horse's bridle. But he's using the analogy of the grapes in a wine press. And he says it's full, it's ready. And so God's going to pour out his judgment, pour out his wrath. Would you say that the world is getting holier or wickeder? Wickeder? Is that a word? Wickeder? More wicked? More ungodly? But the day is coming. Get what he says. In verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servant, the prophets. And to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should have get to destroy them which destroy the earth. So God is mad. God is angry. Judgment is coming. And this is what he promised. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, just turn over there real quick. Revelation chapter 14. And look there in verse 9. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Of the wrath of God. I read the other day how that there's a school district there in Texas that are requiring all their students to receive a chip. And they had to carry it. Right now it's not embedded. It's just around them so that they can track them before, during, and after school to cut down on truancy. You know, kids missing school and skipping all that stuff. Don't you think that's a wonderful idea? Everybody ought to have a chip so they can track everybody and know where everybody is. Most people have already got a number from the government. Most people who work, you can't buy or sell without a number. Most businesses have to have a tax ID number, identification number. Most people have a Social Security number. So it'll make sense. An Obamacare, well, that's perfect. Everybody, that way they can read your medical records, know everything about you. The day is coming when this last world government will require it. Worshipping means that you obey and you bow to the will of the state. And state government becomes God. And you fear state and government more than you do God. And you'll be obedient to the state instead of being obedient to God. But there's a price to pay. But during this tribulation period upon the earth, He says, the same shall drink, in verse 10, of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Sound like a lot of bad stuff coming down the road. And that God isn't pleased and God ain't going to tolerate it. Now look what he says here down in verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So God is sending forth angels, and it's going to be at the end of this tribulation period of time, and he's going to gather all these grapes into this great valley. And in verse 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city. And the last verse there in verse 19, I should say, the last words is the wrath of God, this great winepress. He's talking about God pouring out his judgment upon this earth. You and I may not be able to change what happens in our country, or in the nations around the world, or with the United Nations. But we know that God is going to settle things. God is going to take vengeance. Now, there is another verse found there in the book of Matthew chapter 13, where it talks about how that God is going to bring this judgment together. I think you need to see that verse real quick. Just real quick, turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew in chapter 13. And notice when he makes the statement here in Matthew chapter 13. He says in verse 18, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. This is in verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. So there's the good and the bad, and God's going to separate it. The good is those who trust the Lord. The bad is those who don't. See how simple that is. Because God is not going so much about, well, were you a good boy today or a bad boy yesterday? No, good is those who trust the Lord. Wicked is those who do not trust the Lord. Because those who trust the Lord are justified by what Christ did for them. Then notice what he says. In verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. What we just read in Revelation. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. So there's going to be a division. God's going to separate. And get verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that's what's going to happen. Also, look there in verse 49. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, of the age, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The just are those who have been justified by faith in Christ and faith alone. There's some people who will believe it, and there's people that won't believe it. So God is going to separate. And then he says in verse 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That little sweet Jesus boy that was placed in that little manger, he grew up. He became a man. God only had one son, and he became a missionary. All he ever talked about was heaven and hell. He spoke more on hell than he spoke on heaven. Jesus. But see, people don't want to hear that part, but it's in the book. I didn't write this. It is in here. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. But you will receive the wrath of God in a furnace of fire and gnashing of teeth. forever and ever and ever. That's serious. That's not a game. Most churches never tell their people the truth because they don't want to offend anybody. But if I don't tell you this and you hear it when you stand before God, you're going to be offended. I'd rather you be offended now and hear it and understand it. You may have loved ones you've never explained the gospel to. You may have a mother or a father, a brother or sister, people that you work with, and you never explained the gospel to them. Do you understand where they're going to spend eternity? And how nice you are is not going to cut it. People cannot be saved because you live a good life in front of people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by seeing a good life. Only a good life lived in front of somebody, well, it gets you the honor and the glory, but not the Lord. They have to hear the message, and that's why it's so important. I want to explain just a couple things. Look there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. I want you to understand, lest we forget, the memorial service that we have this morning is because it's saved us from the wrath of God. In the Old Testament, they were to have a memorial service. A memorial service that's mentioned in Exodus 12, and this is what it says. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. It was a memorial service. It was the Passover. It was for them to remember that the Lord had told them, well, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they were to do this throughout their generations. But it was a memorial service. And then also it says in verse 14 of Exodus 17 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Write it in a book and let him hear it, rehearse it. That means go over it and over and over it. He also made the statement in Joshua chapter 4, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passes over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In other words, because of what God had done, a pile of stones were put together as a memorial. So that generations, when the kids say, well, what does this mean? You can tell, this is what this means. This is what it means. And you'd be surprised how many cemeteries there are, and how many headstones there are, and how many names are on them, and when they were born and when they died. But it's something to remember. Who's buried here? Well, it looks like John Doe. When were they born? Well, it was born right there, and this is when they died. There's a bigger memorial service that God told us to do. Lest we forget, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he paid for all the sins of all the world because of his hatred for sin, and it showed the wrath of God against sin, that God would even kill his own son. He was smitten by the Father. And the Bible tells us this. We're supposed to remember by having the Lord's Supper. We look back to what he did, and we look forward to his coming again. Because it's a story in itself. It's a memorial service. We're remembering. And that's why the words on the front of the communion table, this do in remembrance of me. We're to remember. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to trust the Lord. I don't want you to be eternally separated from the presence of God. You can hear this message over and over again, but one day you'll run out of time. Maybe you're thinking about it, but you just never did. Do you realize how important it is for you to trust the Lord? Or if you were to die, do those who know you and love you, do they know that you trusted the Lord? If I had to do your funeral, where would I tell people you went? If you believed on Christ, you are not condemned. You have eternal life. You're going to heaven. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not going to heaven. And all the good intentions is not going to help. It's not going to change this book. You have to knowingly understand and trust Christ as your Savior. Will you do that? If you've never done it, would you do it right now? Look up here just very quickly. This is you and me. This is sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. Hates our sin, but he loves us. To pay for it, eternal separation from God in hell. But he wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. And none of us are perfect. We've all sinned and come short of God's perfection. God says you cannot save yourself, not by your good works. Church can't save you. Money can't save you. This hymn represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. Came into the world because he loves us, hates our sin because it separates us from him. So Jesus Christ took all the sin, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead, and said, if you or I, if we would believe, he did it for us. God gave his only begotten Son. This is how he gave him, to be the payment for our sins. He came back from the dead and said, if you and I, if we would believe it, we would not perish. Means we won't go to hell. But we would have everlasting life. Means we get to go to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I pray that you will. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. If you've never trusted the Lord, would you just talk to the Lord right now and say something simple like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died and paid for my sins. And right now, the best I know how, I believe he did it for me. And I'm going to trust him, and him alone is my only hope of going to heaven. And friend, God said if you would do that, he would save you from hell, give you eternal life as a free gift, and you get to go to heaven on what Christ did for you. If you've never done it before, would you do it right now? And if you're making that decision, I'd like to know it, and I'd like to have prayer for you. But I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you will trust Christ as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down, right where you're sitting? Not going to embarrass you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip it up real quick and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Our Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us, for giving us the free gift of eternal life, and that anyone who honestly, sincerely just trusts you, believing that you did it for them, you guarantee them eternal life. They become your child for all eternity. We thank you for them. And Father, we know that they never have to worry about the wrath of God because it's been taken care of. You took it for them. We ask now your blessings upon the communion service, and realizing that nobody has to do this to be saved, but it is your will for your children, those who understand that, yes, you came into the world and you did this for me. And we ask your blessings upon each one in Christ's name. Amen. Would take my
place. Have you ever heard that faith without works is dead? Or have you ever read James chapter 2? Does your faith produce good works? Some teach that if you don't serve the Lord, you're not saved. Is that true or false? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up. Amazing grace amazes me.